Good morning, everyone, and thank you for calling in for our monthly spiritual outreach call. My name is Nancy Graby, and I'm a Dame of Malta from the New Jersey area. This morning, we are blessed to have Monsignor James P. Moroney with us. Welcome, Monsignor, and if you could please lead us in a prayer.
Wonderful. Let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O God, who willed that your only begotten Son should be born from among humanity, so that by a wonderful mystery humanity might be born again from you, we pray that in your kindness you may sanctify by the Spirit of adoption those you feed with the bread you give your children. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
I'd like to take an opportunity now to introduce Monsignor Moroney. Monsignor Moroney was ordained as a priest for the Diocese of Worcester 42 years ago and presently serves as the pastor of St. Cecilia Parish in Lymminster, Massachusetts, and as director of the Office for Worship in that same diocese. He has previously served as director of the USCCB Secretariat for the Liturgy and rector of St. John Seminary in Boston. A frequent lecturer in the liturgy and priestly spirituality, he is the author of The Mass Explained by Catholic Book Publishing. Monsignor Moroney has been a chaplain in the American Association since 2013 and currently serves as an active magistral chaplain in the Boston area. He has been to Lourdes with the association. We welcome Monsignor to speak to us about Mary's parents on this day before the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is also the same day on which the Order of Malta around the world celebrates the Feast of Our Lady of Salerno. Thanks very much for being here and for supporting our spiritual outreach program. I give you Monsignor Moroney.
Good morning, everybody. It's delightful to be with you. That prayer that I offered at the beginning, by the way, is from the Mass of Saints Joachim and Anne, who are the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary, whom I'd like to reflect with you for a bit this morning. It's very interesting because Joachim and Anne, if you go looking in the Bible for whatever you can tell about Mary's parents, you will find nothing. You'll find that there's no reference to either St. Joachim or Anna any place in the New Testament. So where do we learn something about them? Well, by the second century, by about 150 years after the Lord Jesus had died and rose and returned to the Father, the time that some of the present-day New Testament was still being written, there were a number of competing documents that were out there, sort of in the form of what we call midrash in the Jewish tradition. That is reflections, expansions upon something we learned in the scriptures that wrote down traditions having to do with that subject. And one of the subjects was, where did Mary come from? Who were her mother and father? And so in the second century, there's a proto-gospel, as they called it, of St. James, that's attributed to the half-brother of Jesus, James, the apostle of Jerusalem. And he writes down all kinds of stories about Mary's birth and about the origin of Joachim and Anna. And that's the earliest testimony we have to any details about their biography. It all gets consolidated by the 13th century in the famous Golden Legend, which is a collection of all the stories about everything you wanted to know about the New Testament, but you never found in there. It was written by the Archbishop of Genoa at the time. And just about 50 years after the Golden Legend was first printed, the famous painter Giotto painted a series of frescoes in the Scrovini Chapel in Padua. If you've ever been to Padua in Italy, it's the most wonderful place to visit because it has a whole cycle of frescoes, like maybe about a little more than between a dozen and 15 frescoes on the birth of Christ, and then another whole cycle on the passion of Christ, and then a whole cycle on the birth of the Blessed Virgin Mary and where Joachim and Anna came from. it all goes back to that second century document we talked about that's attributed to James, but it becomes very influential, this series of frescoes that tell the story of Joachim and Anna. In fact, when printing gets invented in the 1450s, we don't even think about this, but when printing gets invented in the 1450s, that's when the story of Joachim and Anna and devotion to them spreads all over the place, because for the first time, this Legenda Aurea, as it was called, the golden legend that tells their story, becomes even more popular than the Bible when it's printed in several different languages. So what is this story? What is told about it? Well, we're told that Joachim was born in Nazareth, and Anne was born in Bethlehem. They both were just and without reproach, and they carefully observed the commandments of the Lord. In fact, we're told that they gave a third of everything they had to the temple, and then another third to the poor, and they lived on the last third for their food and shelter. For 20 years, they remained childless, vowing to God three times every year that if he would just send them a child, they would consecrate that child to his service. So Joachim went up to the temple, we're told, in Jerusalem. He goes on the Feast of the Dedication, and he's going to make an offering. But while he's there, he has a run-in with Reuben, who's the high priest, because Reuben says, clearly God has cursed this man Joachim by not giving him a child. He's been childless after 20 years of marriage, and so we don't want him hanging around the temple. And so he throws Joachim out of the temple. For Joachim goes out into the desert, and the desert is a place, as we see even from the life of Jesus, where somebody goes out to try to discern what's really going on here. What is God really asking me to do? So he goes out into the desert and he pitches a tent among the shepherds, and he fasts there for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, meanwhile, if we're making a movie of this, it would switch to his house in Jerusalem, and there is Anna, and she's all by herself. She has no idea where Joachim went. She's not only childless after 20 years, now her husband has disappeared. And before cell phones, she can't call him or find him on Find My Friends or anything. He's just gone. And so now she's thinking, not only am I childless, now I'm a widow. Something's happened to Joachim. And then we switch back to Joachim out in the desert, where he goes to sleep. And in his sleep, he has a dream. Now, isn't this interesting? Because he's just like his future son-in-law. Remember, I can remember a priest once saying of St. Joseph, he's just like any good man. He does most of his best work when he's asleep. And so he's sleeping, and he has a dream, and an angel appears to him and says, Joachim, Joachim, I'm the angel of the Lord sent to you from the Lord who has heard your prayer. And he uses this wonderful phrase, the one who closes the womb can also open it. And the fruit of your wife's womb will be born the most blessed among all women. The first mother of your people was Sarah, the angel says to Joachim. And remember that Sarah was barren until her 90th year, when she, by Abraham, gives birth to Isaac, her only son, a blessing to all the people to whom he was promised. You remember the story of Abraham and Sarah. They're very old, and Abraham forms the first covenant with God. And when he does, God says, you thought yourself barren, that you would never have a son, but look at all the stars in the sky, and I will make your descendants more numerous than every star you see up there. And then his son, Isaac, is born to him. By the way, and I don't want to get sidetracked too much with this, you know the word Isaac, you know, the name Isaac in Hebrew is Itzayak. And Itzayak is a very funny Hebrew word because it imitates the sound of someone laughing. Itzayak. Because the idea that Sarah and Abraham at the age of 90 would have a child was considered so hilarious, so extraordinary, that they named their child the Son of Laughter. In any case, poor Joachim and Anna are in the same situation as Sarah and Abraham. They didn't have to wait 90 years. They only waited 20. But in any case, Sarah and Joachim and Anna, Joachim is told, will now expect to have a child. And the angel goes on. The angel says, Anna, your wife, will have a daughter, and you will call her Mary. Kind of sounds like the Annunciation of the Lord Jesus to Mary, doesn't it? And she, as you have promised, shall be consecrated to the Lord. She'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment she emerges from the womb. She'll live in the temple of the Lord, that none may harbor suspicion about her. And a child will be born to her who will be called Son of the Most High God, and his name will be Jesus. And then the angel says something very interesting to poor Joachim out in the desert with the sheep. And the angel says, behold, I give you a sign. When you come to the golden gate in Jerusalem, you're going back into Jerusalem, who will you see there but Anne, your wife, who longs to see you and rejoice when she sees you? Joachim says, bring me 10 lambs without blemish, and that I may offer them to the Lord, and another 12 tender calves that I may give to the priests and the elders to offer to the Lord. So he does sacrifice to the Lord with over 100 little lambs, little sheep to offer as well. Meanwhile, back at the house, doesn't this golden legend kind of read like a movie script? Meanwhile, back at the house, the angel goes to visit Anna, who's been weeping bitterly because she's convinced that Joachim's dead. And the angel appears to her and says, God's heard your prayers. You'll conceive and bear a child, and the child will be spoken of in the whole world, just what every mother wants to hear. And so she tells, the angel tells Anna, go to the golden gate, and there you will meet Joachim. And in the 15th century, when the first edition of the Golden Legend was published, there's this wonderful little commentary on this meeting of Joachim and Anna at the Golden Gate, written by an abbot by the name of Celidonius. And he writes, and I quote, overjoyed, Anna threw herself into the arms of her husband. Together they rejoiced about the honor that was to be granted them in the form of a child, for they knew from the heavenly messenger that the child would be a queen, powerful on earth and in heaven. So Joachim leaves, he meets Anna at the Golden Gate, and together they rejoice, saying, now I know the Lord has greatly blessed us, for behold, the widow is no longer a widow, and the childless has conceived a child. So the Blessed Virgin Mary is conceived out of this great joy. And in fact, to Anna and Joachim has been revealed the fact that she will in fact be the Mother of God. And so at the birth of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Anna declares, my soul is magnified this day. In other words, my heart is just exploding inside of me from complete joy. That's a very interesting phrase. Because you will recall that at the visitation, when the Blessed Virgin Mary has found out that she indeed, after the angel announces to her in the Annunciation that she'll be the Mother of God, she runs into the hill country to see her cousin Elizabeth. And when she gets there, she says the prayer that is most closely associated with the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's the prayer that we pray in evening prayer every single night. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked upon his servant in her lowliness, and henceforth all generations will call me blessed. Her opening line, Magnificat, my soul magnifies the Lord. It's the same line that was used by her mother, Anna, when she learned that Mary would be her child. And she says, my soul is magnified this day. So it could well be that the Blessed Virgin hears this kind of language from her mother as she's growing up, and that's the origin of Mary's hymn, of the great Magnificat. So Joachim and Anna, upon the birth of the child, name her Mary, just as the angel had told her to, Miriam in Hebrew. And when she's 3 years old, because they have promised to do so, they bring her up to the temple. And she then goes to the temple and lives among the priests and the women attendants who take care of people inside the temple. And Mary grows up in the temple, where every day, according to the golden legend, an angel came and fed her purest foods. Now, some of the Midrash traditions get a little creative along the way, as I'm sure you've heard from some of the other stories of the saints that get passed on to us. But these elaborations on the life of Joachim and Anna and the Blessed Virgin Mary, nonetheless, all have a truth that's behind them. And in Joachim and Anna, the truth that we have is that God is the one who chooses the Blessed Virgin Mary. And God is the one who takes ordinary people like Joachim and Anna, good people. You remember, they gave to the poor and they gave to the temple, and they were generous and seen by everybody as wonderful people. But God chooses us in our ordinariness, and even in our suffering, in their terrible suffering, that for 20 years they tried to have a child and they were never able to do it. God chooses us in our ordinariness and in our suffering, and creates wonderful realities that proclaim his glory in the midst of the world. O Lord, God of our fathers, who bestowed on Saints Joachim and Anna this grace, that of them should be born the mother of your incarnate Son, grant through the prayers of both that we may attain the salvation you have promised to your people. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you both. Saints Joachim and Anna, pray for us.
Thank you so much, Monsignor Moroni, for your very interesting and beautiful picture of Mary and her family. And again, thank you for your support of this program and for all you do for our members. Thanks to everyone for joining in this morning's call. The recording of this call will be posted on the Association website by the end of the week. The next spiritual outreach call will be on Wednesday, October 5th at 11 a.m. Father David Caron will speak on the rosary as a tool having a positive impact on our daily lives. Have a blessed day. Goodbye.